Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. I'm here with the lovely Sahela Sophia. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So lovely to be talking to you today, Sahela. Would you like to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your work?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So, yeah, my name is Sahela and I am a coach based here in Portsmouth. And the sort of coaching that I do is a mixture between lifestyle coaching with a background of kind of therapeutic style coaching, and then also moving into the more corporate business coaching space as well.
Okay, wonderful. And also, you recently joined us, didn't you?
I did, yes.
So what's your role at Shaping?
Yes, I have. So I am the co-lead for the Workplace Health and Wellbeing Programme initiative that you have.
Oh, amazing. There's so much for us to talk about, because obviously wellbeing is a massive, massive part of your life. Yeah. And it's so important for us to keep ourselves well. It's so great that you're part of that team with Chris West, isn't it?
Yes.
And really excited to see how your kind of collaboration evolves. And I know that you've got some big ideas for that programme. Let's just sort of circle back and go back to some of the work that you've been doing kind of in your life coaching. So what's kind of led you into that work, Sahela?
Yeah, so what's led me there? It's been a few different things, to be honest. Initially, my background and interest has always been in people, mm-hmm. in psychology. So if we kind of loop back to even when I chose subjects that I studied at college, at uni, okay. always had that psychology background. But I also had the business background. So mm-hmm. my degree, for example, was a mixed degree with marketing and psychology.
Okay.
So I always had this kind of mix. And then I went into more the kind of business world. And I was actually working for Portsmouth University in this building.
Okay.
Funnily enough, managing the innovation centres. And it was while I was here that I guess kind of in my 20s, and I was sort of trying to work out what it is I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I knew what I liked, and I loved the support element here of kind of mm-hmm. helping the businesses. But as I started to kind of evolve my role here, I started to grow a team. And what I started noticing is I really enjoyed supporting the couple of people that I had working with me, mm-hmm. helping them to grow and also supporting with kind of some specific skills at the time. And then that kind of led me to thinking, I think I want to do something more within this field.
Okay.
So then I did some volunteering. I volunteered for parks and doing emotional support. And it kind of evolved from there. And I just okay. started thinking, right, I want to kind of get more into this world. This feels like it's where I fit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, when you reflect and you can see that that people element and understanding people has always been there for you.
Yeah.
And I guess so now that you've been doing this coaching, like what might lead someone to want to work with you as a coach? Like what's happening in their lives maybe for them to feel like coaching is for them?
Yeah, great question. So normally there might be something where something just doesn't quite feel right. Mm-hmm. Quite often people will say on paper, things are good. You know, this is going well at work or within my business. I've got this happening at home. But maybe I'm not feeling like it's what I was thought I was going to feel like.
Okay.
Or maybe something feels like it's missing, but I almost feel ashamed to say something's missing because I'm actually really fortunate.
Yes, okay. So and on paper, and you know, all the boxes are ticked, everything, you've got everything on your list that you want, but maybe inside something doesn't quite feel right or match.
Exactly that. Okay. Exactly that. Sometimes people can't put their finger on it, but they are lacking some kind of fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it can be something very specific. So somebody might come along and say, this is happening in my life. I've got this going on and I want to feel better in this area. So sometimes people do come very specific. But what I've found with anybody that I've worked with, we never just end up focusing on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why life coaching, having a background in different areas can really help, because mm-hmm. no one thing is ever the problem. And also, if there is one thing and we spend all this time improving that area, we have to make sure the other areas don't collapse.
Sure.
If we suddenly put 100% of our effort
yes.
into improving one thing, we want to make sure that 3, 4, 5 other things in our lives don't slip, because we don't want to just move the problem around. We
yes.
kind of want to uplift ourselves in general.
Sure. It sounds like such rewarding work.
Oh, it really is. I always say I'm so privileged because I get this incredible insight into other people's lives, their thoughts, their feelings. And it's something to feel really privileged about, but also really treasure, because mm-hmm. I'm having conversations with people where sometimes they'll say, I've never told someone this mm-hmm. before. Or they'll say, I hadn't looked at it like that, but now that you've asked me that question, I've realised this about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And to be there with someone as they discover these things, for me, I can't think of something more fulfilling for my kind of working life.
That's so interesting, because you must be able to build trust with people really quickly, which, you yeah. know, how wonderful and what a gift to be able to do that. But you're so right, because coaches are kind of separate, aren't they? So, you know, you're not a therapist,
yeah.
you're not a doctor, you're not a family member, you're not a friend, you're not there to judge.
Yes.
So it's almost like you get to share that real honesty.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how liberating that is for people to speak their truest truth to someone that they can, that can sort of hold that and feel like they can trust, and how, yes, until we say things out loud, I don't think we fully process them.
No, do you know what? I think you're right. There's a lot, we all have it, don't we? We say so much in our heads. We also share a lot with our family, but there's always, or friends, but there's always that thought of, well, what is that person going to then think? Or what impact do I then have on that friend or family member? Whereas in that coaching space, that's time for that person.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't got to worry that I'm then going to take that in, or I'm going to judge them. And like you said earlier, trust and rapport building, that's the key, because when you have that trust, when you have that rapport with somebody, it can bring things out of you that maybe wouldn't have come to the mm-hmm. surface otherwise.
Yeah. And what kinds of people do you work with? Is it more individuals or groups or businesses?
So I do a little bit of a mixture, but it's mostly individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really believe in the power of one-to-one
yeah.
work. I think that there's so much great stuff out there now that does one-to-many. But when we're one-to-many, we hold back.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been there when we may be listening to a talk and we might think something
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we might share it, but we're not always going to share everything that
yeah.
comes into our mind. When you're in that one-to-one space, it's so safe
mm-hmm.
that even you don't necessarily know what's going to come up for you.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of one-to-one work, and I also do one-to-one work within businesses, so where businesses actually want to support their staff and mm-hmm. enable them to have that one-to-one time. That's really powerful. And I do go in and do talks on different subject areas, like things like imposter syndrome or kind of well-being in general, which are great, because having that peer-to-peer is really useful, because quite often someone will say something and then someone else will say, ah, yeah, I
yeah.
felt that before. So there's the power in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I would never steer away from that one-to-one, because that's where I have just felt and seen so much magic.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, businesses working with you to kind of help coach their staff, because I've worked in businesses before, and I remember I had a sort of a senior role, and I was quite young. I was probably like in my 20s, and I had like a team of 10 people to manage. Wow. Now, I was still learning and growing myself, and I had to coach them to be good at their jobs, but also with that kind of teaching them skills, it's also, you know, you're there to listen and to help sort of guide them. Mm-hmm. And I love that work, but I remember working with people that didn't maybe have those coaching skills and found it really difficult. And I know there's a lot of, you know, question asking and not offering advice and, you know, open questions, all of that stuff. It's quite a skill, isn't it? Yeah. And I guess it's lovely that you can go in and offer that in spaces where maybe, you know, you're this impartial person with all of the right skills to help coach teams or you know, one-to-one basis.
Yes, yeah. And when you think about that position that you were in, you would have been trying to support your staff. Mm-hmm. Also, you would have had your own things going on.
Yeah.
And this is something that I was speaking to someone about too a few weeks ago. He was kind of middle management, and he said, so many of my team are coming to work and they're sharing with me what's going on in their personal lives.
Yeah.
And we have a duty as an employer. We hire the whole person. Mm-hmm. We can't just hire the work
then. Yeah,
you
can't switch
it off. No, yeah. Exactly. So when they're coming in and maybe they're stressed, maybe they're feeling a bit burnt out, maybe they're emotional, maybe they're angry, whatever that is, it doesn't always work to have that just among colleagues. Mm-hmm. Having that private, impartial, non-judgment space where someone can share about what's going on at home, but also maybe they're worried they're not hitting their targets at work. Maybe they're worried that work and home are kind of bleeding into each other. Mm-hmm. You don't always want to say that to a manager, mm-hmm. because sometimes then there's the fear of, oh, will I be judged? Will that not, you know, will that prevent me for future opportunities at work? So just knowing there's somewhere to go, it helps the individual, but it also really helps the business, because at the end of the day, businesses want to support their staffs, but they also want happy, productive employees that are going to help grow the business as well.
And it's amazing, actually, that there are lots of businesses. And I spoke to Hannah from Seed Wellbeing recently on here. And I know that that team are doing lots of work in businesses to help kind of support wellbeing, because it's fundamental, isn't it? If your employees are kind of happy and healthy, and when we say healthy, we mean mentally well, that has such an impact on how they show up and their ability to do their jobs well. I wondered, you know, what does well-being mean to you, Sahela?
Oh, so it's a lovely question. What does well-being mean to me? For me, it means being able to wake up every day and feel some level of being content. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we can chase a lot the highs, right?
Yeah.
But with the highs come the lows. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have highs. And we all know that as people, life is going to be full mm-hmm. of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And I always think when it's good, let's grab onto that, because we do know that with life, it will mean that other things will come where they're going to be harder, and we're going to need more resilience. But I think if we can be at this kind of sustainable level of generally we feel content.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should minimize that word, because to feel that for the majority of the time is actually an incredible thing.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we can hear a word like that and think, oh, I want to feel more than content.
Yeah. But like, actually, it's content isn't enough.
Exactly. But actually, if we look at, if we're in our 90s, we're 100 years old, and we look back and we can say, do you know what? I lived a life where I felt really content. And most days I woke up and I felt somewhat energized to live my life. I think that is something that we want to strive for within our well-being.
Yeah.
Because that is sustainable.
Yes. It's so true. And just thinking about that word, like contentment, and you're so right. It's like, not allowing yourself to kind of like focus too much on the highs, not getting yourself too lost in the lows, but almost having this baseline where you kind of, you welcome all of the experiences. So whether they're good, bad, indifferent, that you're okay, you're steady.
Yes.
And that's what came to me, is like that steadiness in the storm of life, you know, regardless, sunshine, rain, like you're okay regardless.
Definitely. I think that's a really nice, really nice way of putting it. And I think, as you said, we know it's lovely when we have them heightened moments, and we will still have them. But to feel both kind of within ourselves and surrounding ourselves that we've got that steadiness is something quite special, I think.
Yeah, I love that. I wonder, you've probably got lots of tools in your wellbeing toolkit, I imagine, from like the work that you do. Is there like a go-to tool or an important tool in your toolkit that you kind of lean on?
Yes. Something which I lean on a lot is writing.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't mean you have to be good at writing, mm-hmm. but what I really believe is sometimes we don't really know what's going on in our head.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say to my clients, just because we think something doesn't make it true.
Okay.
Because often we have so many thoughts and then we think something, before we know it, we've jumped on that.
Yeah.
Thought.
It's a story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you have physically write something out, it gives you a chance to, one, just pour out mm-hmm. all the thoughts, whether they're correct, whether they're not. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there such thing as correct or not? Mm. Who knows? But when you do that, there's two things that are powerful. One, you get your thoughts out, which that in itself is a stress reliever,
yeah,
automatically.
Yeah.
But two, if you do decide to read it back, which you don't have to do, you actually then can kind of think, okay, do I feel that?
Mm.
Or have I got evidence of that? Or am I just feeling really heightened right now and actually reading it out, I feel a bit better and maybe it's not as bad as that? I think it's something that is so accessible to so many of us.
Yeah.
But especially in this day and age, it can be easy to just not do. And I think mm-hmm. people hear, they hear the word journaling and they think, oh, that sounds very specific, or I have to be good at something. I'm talking just pouring things out. I sometimes grab my phone, notes app, just drop a few
things
down.
It's just about getting it out of your head, isn't it?
Exactly.
However that works for you.
Exactly.
You
that.
Could probably leave yourself a voice note or, you know, whatever, you know, not everyone finds it easy to sit down and to write.
Exactly.
So I completely understand. And I really hear you on that. I've been journaling. I say journaling. I've got a journal, but again, pouring my thoughts out for a little while now, and almost a year, and it's been really huge for me actually, because you kind of you start to know yourself and understand yourself
exactly.
with a bit more depth. And actually, some of you, when your thoughts are on the page, they can feel a bit smaller, or all of a sudden they don't hold as much power, I suppose.
Yeah, you're right, and actually, even when you look at it from the other perspective, an example, actually only 2 or 3 days ago, I came across some things that I'd wrote in my diary, my journal,
mm-hmm.
and it was, I think it was 9 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I read it back, and it's just really interesting to hear what you write, how you sound, your perspective of things, but it was also really nice for me to read it back this far on
mm-hmm.
and think, wow, look at what I was worried about then,
mm-hmm.
look at what I was feeling then. It was all very real, and I was actually writing at a time where I was going through something quite difficult,
mm-hmm.
so it's not to take away from that, but seeing that then now, it helped me also just think, I have grown a lot.
Yes.
And sometimes even being able to just kind of stumble across something like that a year later, 10 years later, we can forget so easily where we were at. So things like that, they help us now, but it can even help us, you know, years down
just
the line.
Just when you, if you can reflect a little bit, because we we don't always celebrate how far we've come, do we? Because we're always on to the next thing.
Exactly.
There was something that just came up when you were talking, and I heard it a long time ago, just about like challenging what you believe, and it's take that thought to court.
Ooh,
I'll leave you with that one, but I think it's really interesting when you get, because we all have it. You mentioned it earlier about like imposter syndrome, and you know, I think everyone feels imposter syndrome.
Yes,
it's so common, and it's so normal to feel it. And you have your kind of your little saboteurs that kind of pop up every now and again, maybe trying to sort of like take you down, and telling you stories that maybe you can't do something, or you know, that you haven't got the right skills to do it. But I always remember that take that thought to court, because if you start to challenge it and think about like, oh, what evidence is there actually to back this story up about myself, then you start to realize that, you know, it might not be correct.
So true. I love that. And I've heard something similar before where someone said, kind of along that line, imagine you were in court, what would you have to say, what could you bring up? And actually, when we look at it like that, that's when we can start to challenge ourselves and our thinking.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, you can take that one. You can take that one from me. I've used it a lot. So the people that you work with, I wonder, are there any kind of patterns that you see? Are there any ways in which like people get stuck? Are there any kind of themes to like in your work when people come to you? I'm sure there might be people listening, and I wonder just what wisdom you kind of have to share with us.
Yeah, of course. So I think some patterns that I do see are around people's perception of what other people think of them. So this can be people that they're close with. It can also be people that they don't know.
Sure.
So sometimes I'll see patterns where people can be really engaged. I want to do this. I want to focus on this. And then suddenly there's this pattern where some doubt creeps in.
Mm-hmm.
And often the doubt isn't always them doubting mm-hmm. themselves. It's doubting what others perceive mm-hmm. they could do or should do, or are they judging them? And it's really interesting, because I always say to clients, again, there's no evidence that these people think it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are holding yourself back, you're holding yourself back based on your perception of what other people think of you.
May or may not think.
Or may not.
Yeah.
And then when we go a little bit deeper, we start thinking about, well, do we want to live our lives based on what other people thought? Are we going to be on our deathbed one day and we're going to think, oh, I'm glad I didn't do that because this person may have judged me for it. And it's really human. And I don't think we're ever move away from completely feeling, you know, immune to that.
Yeah.
But we do want to not let it deter us.
Yeah.
And change the course of our life.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely something which in different ways people feel.
Yeah.
And it's something that no matter who you are, when you drill down and challenge it a little bit, people are always left with that kind of knowing smile of, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's a few things kind of linked to that, because we have this pack mentality, don't we? So it's so ingrained in us to like not separate yourself, like not draw attention from yourself, not take the lesser walk path, not to be sort of like over here doing your own thing when everyone else is doing something sort of different altogether. So I completely understand that there's a lot of fear that can be linked with that. And I just worry or wonder sometimes, like we're in this world, this, you know, social media, there's so much comparison, isn't there? And there's I wonder if that, like, there's an extra level of that fear of judgment, because it's so easy. We're making these snap decisions on people and what they're doing, like, so quickly nowadays.
Definitely. And I think, as you say, in the world of social media, that judgment is so instant. Something can't happen now and it might take a while to trickle out, and some people might find out, some people might not. It almost feels like spotlight's on you.
Yes.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
In one go. That's the fear anyway.
Yeah.
And understandably, why would anybody want to feel that?
Yeah.
So then, but I think that can lead to us then holding ourselves back or being a little bit inauthentic because we almost feel like, oh, if I go and put my real self out there, I could be judged really, really quickly. So I think you're right. I think social media definitely adds a layer to that fear, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, because you almost can't do things so much in private. Like there's this real need to kind of like share things, you know, new ideas that maybe aren't fully formed or you take a leap into the unknown and then all of a sudden, you know, everyone kind of knows about it.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anyone listening that's feeling like that or maybe is holding back in some way. Mm. Like what kind of advice or tips would you give to someone that's feeling that?
I think that one way to think about it is think about who you are. Think about what your comfort zone is in whatever it is that you're maybe wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our comfort zone, we've got our stretch zone, and we've got our panic zone.
Okay.
So what I would say is think about the steps that you can take or the things that you can do that are within your stretch zone.
Okay.
Don't go into your panic zone
mm-hmm.
because that's when, well, one, you're going to be panicking. Mm. Two, you're probably not going to be thinking about things as comfortably.
Mm.
But actually, if you're... the compound effect of doing things within your stretch zone, you're still stretching yourself, so yep. You're not just staying safe,
mm-hmm.
but over time, if you're continually adding things to your stretch zone, you are going to build, you are going
yes.
to grow, but you're going to do it in a way that feels, that word that we used earlier, sustainable.
Yes, okay.
And I think that's important because we don't, if you've got that sort of mindset and you've got those wants, you don't want to just spend all day, every day in your comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
but also don't jump yes. into that panic zone straight away. You don't need to.
Yeah.
You don't
That's
need
so
to.
Wise because perhaps if the jump feels too big or you've got that real vulnerability while you're doing it, so it starts to become like not enjoyable and then probably scares you from taking another leap like that because you're thinking, oh, that felt too much or that didn't, you know, feel good.
Exactly.
That's so wise. And then I guess the more you're in your stretch zone,
yes.
and then that might start to feel a little bit more comfortable in there. And then actually the next leap is the slightly bigger one
exactly.
when you're ready.
Exactly. This is the thing that's lovely about growth is the more you do that, what was once in your panic zone will soon be your stretch zone. So
yes.
you're still working towards it. You're still going to get there, but you're going to do it in a way with growth, sustainably, but also in a way that you feel in control of.
Yes. Have you done anything new in your stretch zone lately?
In my stretch zone lately? Ooh, have I done anything new in my stretch zone lately? I think for me, whenever I do any type of, whether it's public speaking, mm-hmm. whether it's workshops, that always is still in my stretch
mm-hmm.
zone. I did a talk a few weeks ago on imposter syndrome. And even though I've done this talk
mm-hmm.
more than once, every time that you go to do it, it always still feels like that's in my stretch zone because you don't know what people are going to be in mm-hmm. the audience. You don't know what's going to come up. But actually, it was funny because when I finished, I thought to myself, that went really well. And I didn't feel the same feeling
okay.
at the beginning of it as I would have done couple of years ago, for example.
Yeah.
So I would still call that my stretch zone.
Yeah.
I don't feel it's my comfort zone, but it's a much more comfortable stretch
yeah,
zone now
I
than
like
it was
that.
Before.
It's amazing that you can just feel the difference in yourself in it.
Yeah. You feel it in your body.
Yeah.
You can feel it in your body because sometimes you'll do something and you'll know you're stretching yourself and you kind of almost feel it mm-hmm. all over. Whereas you've still got some of those kind of similar sensations, but you have this I think the way you talk to yourself is different.
Yes.
And I was actually saying that in the talk to do with imposter syndrome. How we talk to ourselves is really important.
Yeah.
So say the night before you're going to do something that's in your stretch zone. If you sit there and you start thinking, oh, what could go wrong? What if I say this? I'm nervous. That's not fueling you. That's just putting more anxiety there. Whereas if you say things like, do you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to give my best.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go and I'm going to just be myself.
Yeah.
Share what I have to share or do what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily sat there saying, I'm going to be amazing tomorrow.
Yes.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Say things that feel fueling to you and that will actually benefit your mindset.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
Yeah, because I find some of the most engaging workshops I've been to or talks that I've listened to are just people that are doing their best.
Yes.
They show up with their humanness and they speak from the heart and with passion, and they don't necessarily have to be the most polished.
Yeah.
You know, they just have to be a really authentic account of themselves. And and you know, if things don't always go right, do they? You know,
no.
You can wake up feeling the best, or you can wake up not feeling great and you still have to do it anyway. And I think somewhere within all of that is just like an honesty that I always find like really refreshing if someone just shows up as themselves.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Like you say, whether even people when they're scrolling on Instagram, 90% of the time it's not the most polished person that people are drawn to. It is the more authentic, where someone feels like that person's being themselves.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that, and I feel comfortable listening to that. It's not the most polished, because we're not robots, are we?
No.
We are humans, and that's our gift to bring that element to what we do.
Yeah, I love that. So Hayley, you've given so many lovely kind of, you shed so much wisdom in this conversation, and I hope people can really take a lot away from what you shared.
Thank you.
I wonder, how will people find you? How do people find you if they're interested in your work or your talks? Like, what's the best place to find you?
Sure. So the best place to find me is either through my website or through my socials. So Instagram or my LinkedIn is at Sahela Sophia Coaching. And the same for my website, sahelasophiacoaching.com. You can find me on any of those and get in touch with me easily.
And hopefully we'll see some work with yourself and Chris evolve. I know that we've been talking about, you know, the five pillars of well-being, and there's some plans to kind of create some sessions around that as like the year evolves. So really excited and look forward to that.
Definitely.
We're coming to a close now, and we always end the podcast with your thoughts, recommendations, tips around Portsmouth. So is there a place that you love to visit? Is there a view? Is there a restaurant? Please share with us.
Ah, yeah, lovely question. So I love the seafront. I used to live a little bit closer to it than I do now. And just being able to breathe in the fresh air, go for a nice walk. I mean, it's beautiful there now. It was always nice, but it's even better
now.
Yeah,
it is. They've done such an amazing job,
haven't they? It's just, I think that is one of the nicest spots you can go to for anything, whether you're on your own, whether you're with somebody else, whatever it is you want to do. I think if you can, even if you've got 15 minutes and you can just head down there.
Look at the sea.
Yeah, and actually just relax, take it in. You don't have to distract yourself with anything else. I think we are so lucky to have that.
Is there a particular spot on the seafront that you would head to? Is there a particular view that you like?
So I do like Old Portsmouth and heading that way. But when because I do love just walking and getting steps in, I just like doing almost the walk from one end to the other.
Yeah.
Stop off, maybe grab a coffee or something as you go.
Nice.
But yeah, just walking as much of it as I possibly can. And sometimes just finding a quiet spot, to be honest, to just take a minute, relax. I love it. I think we're so lucky to have that.
Yeah, we are. And we're moving into, you know, spring to summer. And I think it looks even more beautiful when the sun shines on the sea. It really is a special place to be. So thank you so much for your time and for sharing your thoughts with us today, Sahela. It's been amazing to chat to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space
and Portsmouth Community Lottery.